I would like to acknowledge some of the co-authors in this work is Dr. Adesogan and Dr. Artington and Eveline Alves, one of our graduate students. And Florida is primarily a cow-calf production state, so we do have very few opportunities for stockers or feedlots, so we are pretty much predominant a cow-calf state. And one particular thing about Florida is most of the calves produced in Florida come from big operations, very extensive operations. Just an example, it seems that about 80% of the ranches with more than 2,500 cows in the whole country are located in South Florida. So that means that a big portion of the calves that leave the country, they come from these big operations, very extensive. That's why Bahia Grass works really well for those producers. Bahia Grass is a C4 forage, and it is not the most productive and doesn't have the best nutritive value. However, it's very persistent under all adverse conditions that we have, such as low fertility and poorly drained soils. So, however, we have seen that Bahia Grass also responds to nitrogen fertilization as most of the warm season forages, so it can produce more and have greater crude protein concentrations when we use some fertilizer. However, we have seen that in recent years, the increase in price of nitrogen fertilizer have raised a lot of interest in going back and talking about the legumes again. So it seems to be a cycle. So I have been here in US for a short time, so it seems that this is my first cycle, but I think I will see that again. But regardless, so we have some producers that are interested in legumes, and I have seen people that have already retired and have done that kind of work before, but we haven't been very successful. So, and particularly in South Florida, we don't have a lot of opportunities for cool season legumes. They don't really produce well for us, so left us with only one option. That is the warm season legumes that we have to work with. And trying to work with these warm season legumes overseeded in warm season grasses, it has been pretty much like putting a Rottweiler and a Chihuahua in a cage. So you can estimate what will be the outcome, who will live alive. And that's what happened with this mixture. Many times, just the grass ended up winning, and we don't have any legume left. Persistence is the main issue to make those sustainable. So, and there are several reasons for that. Soil fertility is one, and grazing management is the other one. As I mentioned to you, most of these systems are very extensive. So we don't have a lot of grazing management and fertilization programs on those systems. However, we still have some successful stories. And for us in South Florida, Ashinomini has been one of those, and Carpodesmodium probably the second option. However, they are annual. Again, to make that a sustainable cycle where the Ashinomini will reseed, we need to manage. Primarily in the fall, we need to let go to seed, take the cattle out, and let those plants to come back next year as a seed. And again, it's challenging for many beef cattle producers because they don't have that opportunity. They let the cattle graze year long, and the legumes are pretty much in 2 or 3 years, they are gone, and we ended up with a Bahia grass pasture again. We do have the perennial peanut that has been probably the best one if you think on the state as a rule. However, we have poorly drained soils. Rhizoma peanut doesn't like that. That's pretty much what we have in South Florida. So in these wet conditions, those are the ones that has been the most successful one. And we have seen the cowpea, and some producers now, they are having a lot of hunting leaves and food plots, and they are planting the cowpea in the mixture of the food plots. And they are very excited about how the cowpea can grow. And when they take samples and analyze, it has a very good nutritive value. So it's a very aggressive growth when you plant on a food plot and you prepare a small area and plant in a mixture. And that had been raised the interest from some producers asking, why not that doesn't work for us with cattle and work with our food plots. So again, just skipping this one. The objective of this study was to try and to use this cowpea in different ways, primarily with cow-calf pairs. So we like to do research with heifers because we can measure the growth, and that make us more accurate in deciding the forage quality. And however, we have this 80% of our herd is cow-calf producers, and they want more answers about cow-calf production. So we took the chance of doing some cow-calf work. We know the variability is very high. You sometimes getting that type 2 error, so we have more variability that you cannot find difference in the treatments. However, we decide to do that with cow-calf pairs just to answer the questions from producers. So we plan, that was in Ona, Florida, in South Florida, south of I-4. And the grazing period, we planned that cowpea in March, early March, and we grazed from May to August. And we have 1 hectare pastures. The treatments that we have were 4, where we plant cowpea in 2-meter strips in the Bahia grass pasture. We prepare that strip and plant the cowpea. The second treatment was the cowpea only in the grazing, in the creep grazing area, just for the calves. The third one was the regular creep feeding treatments, where we fed concentrate to the calves. And the fourth one was control. That just illustrating the treatments that I just mentioned to you. Cowpea in strips, creep grazing, the creep feeding, and the control that is pretty much a Bahia grass pasture. We didn't use any nitrogen fertilizer. We did apply phosphorus and potassium in all treatments, but we didn't use any nitrogen in any of the pasture in this 2-year study. So we have 3 reps. We plant the iron clay cowpea and we inoculate the seed. The calves receive the regular feed that they have for creep feeding that is not very popular, but we wanted to have a treatment that we increase our calf gains to compare. If eventually the cowpea would increase, we would have something to compare with, such as concentrate feed. And that's the feed that we use. We were targeting 1% of the body weight intake. We are feeding 3 times a week. And we use 3 pairs in that 1 hectare experimental unit. And they were grazing on a continuous and fixed stocking rate. So we were not rotating cattle. We just put the cows over there, and they were there all the time from May to August. To measure herbage, it was pretty much on Bahia grass. We had pretty good idea that the indirect measures with the display meter works really well, give us very good correlation, so we did that. However, we did a pre-trial with the cowpea, was not the case. Not very good correlations between the disc and herbage mass, so we decided to do a direct measure for the cowpea with 12 rings per pasture and an indirect measure for the Bahia grass because we did get some good correlations. We use exclusion cages to measure herbage accumulation. We know that is also have a lot of variability there in those cages. However, we don't have any other better method to do that, so that's what we decided to do. So we record the weight of the cows and calves every 28 days. So shifting gears here to the results. So you're gonna see here that the treatments that we overseed the cowpea, we have less herbage mass during the grazing period. This is average of 2 years. So we ended up with the other treatments, we have pretty similar herbage mass. However, the cowpea was less. And the herbage accumulation again, and when you think about the control and the cowpea grow less, primarily because the animals, they graze the cowpea right away. That didn't persist. They start overgrazing the Bahia grass. So now we don't have a lot of material left, and that hurts also the herbage accumulation rate that compared to the control. The cowpea, there was no difference between the 2 months. And this next slide is probably the one that I would like to show you. That is the end of the story. When we have here the months, herbage mass, and here the treatments, cowpea creep feeding, and creep feeding with concentrate and control, okay? So we can see the first month we have pretty much 3/4 Bahia grass, 1/4 cowpea, although we plant half of the area with cowpea, okay? But the Bahia grass was much more productive. On the second year, that ratio decreased, so the cowpea was decreasing the ratio and the contribution. By the July, the cowpea was gone. So we didn't have any cowpea left. And that was pretty much similar to the creep feeding treatments. So we ended up, they stood with no cowpea to graze. By July, they was pretty much gone. And what happens here was in July, you can see those treatments that were seeded with cowpea and half, they were pretty much overgrazed. I lost my mouse here, okay. They were overgrazed, so we have a severe decrease in the Bahia grass herbage mass here because the animals were overgrazing. When we thought about the creep feeding and the control, they were pretty similar throughout the study. This is just some illustrations how the cowpea will grow when it's excluded, but when you have the animals trampling and grazing, you're gonna see that pretty much the stand was gone by July. And another thing that was somewhat surprising, we would expect a forage with much better nutritive value. However, we saw something better here, but it was not as much as we thought. The Bahia grass was pretty similar among all the treatments. However, the cowpea we have here, it was about 160 grams per kilo when most of the samples in the literature are showing 20-something percent. So that was somewhat disappointing, probably because of the selection of the animals. Grazed some of the leaves, we ended up with the stems. And the digestibility was the same story, very traditional digestibility for Bahia grass, and the cowpea was okay, but it was probably not as good as we would like to. On the animal performance data, we saw here the herbage allowance will follow pretty much the herbage mass. We have much less herbage mass for the cowpea treatments that reflecting lower herbage allowance for the cowpea treatments when there was no difference among the other treatments. However, that didn't hurt the cow. And again, this cow every daily gain is very tricky because you can see here the variability is very high. We also had some body condition numbers that varies from 5 to 1/4 to 5 to 3/4. There was no difference. So we didn't impact the cow's performance or body condition score. However, we can see here, and on the calf standpoint, the creep feeding have a better performance as expected. However, the cowpea didn't bring us any advantage over the control. So the calves performed the same and the cows performed the same. So the cowpea was an extra cost to plant and do everything when the control was pretty much the same outcome on cows and calves' performance. The objective was not discuss creep feeding or not, so this creep feeding gain is very debatable if you think about it. It's not the most efficient. We have a lot of controversy. However, I just would like to throw that treatment there to have something to compare with the cowpea, and that doesn't happen. So the control was still similar to our cowpea treatments. So as a summary, decreased herbage mass when planted on Bahia grass, and the persistent was the biggest problem. After 2 months, the cowpea disappeared. So if we probably use a rotational stocking, that might help the system and give that cowpea some time to recover, 28 days or even longer, and that may work. However, again, I don't know if that's a common management practice among our producers. So, and I don't know if that will be feasible to do on a ranch scale. And the greater nutritive value of the cowpea didn't impact the performance of the animals. So calves, they have access to cowpea, and pairs, they have access to cowpea, they have pretty much similar production to the control. And again, and that probably will raise some questions about how the cowpea may be using these cow-calf systems. For now, I think it has very limited potential to be using this extensive cow-calf system. Yeah, I'd like to thank you for your attention, and I'll be glad to take any questions that you might have. Dr. Roquette. The question was, what was the effect of months? Because we just have cowpea in the first 2 months, if that impacted the performance of the animals in those 2 months. And we did see a month effect, not month by treatment, just month, and the performance of those animals were not greater. So what happens is it was the same fluctuation in performance in all treatments. So that's why we just have month effect, and that really didn't help in the first 2 months. Yes.
If you had a pure stand of cowpea, would you have any risk of bloat?
The question is if I would have some risk of bloat with the cowpea, and I probably don't know the answer, and probably Jim has done some work with legumes, and with this warm season legumes, we have seen a very limited problems with bloat or anything like that because of probably the tannin concentration and so on and so forth. Very, very few metabolic disorders with these warm seasons.
I thank Joe for his presentation.